Okay. Coming back to the book of Acts one more time. In Acts chapter 26, I'm taking the title from what is said in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, unto God's servant, the apostle Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a believer. Almost, not quite, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. Now that word Christian's not in the Bible, but I think two or maybe three times. But that word Christian is a word that's been widely abused today, and it really has become almost meaningless because everything today in religious circles goes by the name of Christianity. Now, I'm taking the title from what is said in verse 28, almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. The king said he was almost persuaded to be one of those disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost persuaded to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be almost persuaded to be a believer is to be altogether lost and dead in sin. Almost is not there. Almost is not being a believer. If you meet God in eternity, almost persuaded, you will be forever damned in your sin under the judgment of God's wrath. To die in your sin is to be raised in your sin, and to answer for your sin before God. For it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, judgment. Being a believer is to be fully persuaded, like Abraham of old. Fully persuaded that of all that God had promised, he's able to perform. Now, if you hold your place there and find over here in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, this word persuaded here is also the same word that's given here in verse 6, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident, you see that word? Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this very thing, or being persuaded of this very thing, that he, God, who begun the good work in you, he will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm confident that he's able. I'm persuaded that he is able. Like Abraham said, being fully persuaded of all that God had promised, God's able to do. We're not, as believers, almost persuaded. We're altogether persuaded that in salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. What's your persuasion? I'm persuaded that he's able. He is able. Now remember, Paul was preaching the gospel before Festus the governor and Agrippa the king and many others before this judgment seat of this pagan Roman king. He counts and considers himself to be happy and blessed of God, even though he had been falsely accused and brutally beaten. He says there in verse 2, I think myself happy. Blessed of God. That's what the word is. Blessed of God. Paul, like the others, counted it a blessing, and they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Counted worthy to suffer for the gospel. Paul plainly declared before his captors how he was a lost religious Pharisee and how God revealed the gospel to him. Remember, he said in verse 9 of Acts 26, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I said, Amen. I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto other cities, strange cities. So he declared to his captors how God, in the height of his rebellion, revealed the gospel unto him, and how God persuaded him to believe the gospel. As you read on there in Acts 26, when that bright light from heaven knocked everyone to the ground, and no one heard the voice of the Lord Jesus but this Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord said to him, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecuted. Now rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of things which thou hast seen and of things which I will appear to thee, delivering thee from the Jews and the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul was preaching the gospel before this crowd and this court, he was rudely interrupted by Festus the governor, and he said to him in verse 24, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're crazy. Thou art beside thyself. Much learning hath made you crazy. But he said, I'm not crazy. I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Now, what do we need to hear? The words of truth. The words of truth spoken with soberness, spoken in a serious way. Paul continued to declare the truth of the gospel by speaking the words of truth, by saying the same things that the law and the prophets did declare unto them. The last part of verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other thing than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Remember, to him give all the prophets witness that the Lord Jesus Christ should suffer, that he should be the first to rise from the dead. We read a moment ago in Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and that he would show light, or give light and salvation unto his people, Jew or Gentile. All the prophets tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said to those Pharisees, you are those which search the scriptures, but they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, he said, that you might have life. And then the Apostle Paul in verse 26 and verse 27 fixes and turns his attention toward King Agrippa. He said to Festus, I speak the words of truth. The words of truth, that Christ should suffer, that he's the fulfillment of everything that was written. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from thee. For this thing was not done in a corner. It was not done in a corner. Evidently Agrippa had some knowledge of the record of Holy Scripture and of Jewish history and of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul declared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his ministry was public. His miracles, his teaching were public. His crucifixion was public, and his resurrection is well known. He said this thing wasn't hidden. It was done out in the open. His ministry was public, well known and published throughout all Judea. King, you know these things. Verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? That's a question. I know you do. Now, how Paul had that knowledge, I'm not sure. But evidently Agrippa, maybe like the Ethiopian eunuch, had been reading Isaiah, the prophet, or Jeremiah, or others. I know you have read. I know you believe what you have read. Then Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a believer. Now notice the king's answer. Verse 28. And I think it's said in a way of criticism. I think when Agrippa answers this question, it's one of criticism. Paul, do you think you're going to persuade me to be like you? Do you know who I am? I'm the king. I'm the king. Do you think by telling me about Jesus Christ, the one that you say fulfilled the scriptures, you think by what you've said about Jesus Christ that you would really persuade me to follow him, to be like this despised Nazarene, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why, Paul, don't you know who I am? I'm the king. I'm King Agrippa. I would not stoop to be like you, a Christian in chains. You're under arrest. You stand before me and I have the power to kill you or the power to let you go. You're in chains. Being a Christian hasn't brought you anything but grief, heartache, and persecution. I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be one of them Christians. I think Agrippa there is mocking the Apostle Paul. But notice what Paul does here. He doesn't say, well, King Agrippa, I know you're the great, mighty king. And boy, it'd be nice. I would really be a happy man if I was like you. He doesn't do that. He turns the tables on him. And he said, I would to God that not only thou, not only you and Festus and Felix and Bernice, but also all that hear me this day were almost and all together, such as I am, what I am by the grace of God, except for these chains. I wouldn't want to put you in chains, although you put me in chains. Notice carefully, the Apostle Paul turned the table on him. Paul didn't say, boy, I'd like to be rich like you. I wish I'd sat on the throne, had power and popularity like you, King Agrippa. Not at all, just the opposite. Paul desired for them that heard him to be blessed with the gospel like the Apostle Paul. Not almost, but altogether. I like that word. Altogether, such as I am. Not almost, but altogether, such as I am. You see the difference there? Big difference, isn't there? Paul desired for them that heard him to be blessed with the gospel, just like him, a sinner saved by the grace of God. Now, I think he describes the blessedness he has in the gospel in verse 18. To open eyes. That's what God has done for me. He's opened our eyes, that our darkness would be turned to light, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins. Agrippa, I wish you were just like me, having the light turned on, having deliverance from darkness to light, having received the forgiveness of sin, having an eternal inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be totally sanctified before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish you were just like me. I don't want to be like you. Altogether like me. And those blessings we receive in the gospel. Well, what happened? Verse 30 says this. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they walked off. They walked off. Remember what Felix said to him? I'll call for you again when I have more convenient time. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves. I wonder what they said. I know what Festus said. Paul's crazy. Maybe what Agrippa said. Well, he's preaching what the scripture said. And then they came to this conclusion. According to Roman law, he's done nothing worthy of death or bonds. Now, I thought about this. When they ship him off to Rome and he spends 2 years there in jail, the record of Scripture is silent on his death. The record of Scripture says nothing other than the fact that he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I'm willing to depart. So we know that he was, after 2 years, executed there for the gospel, gave his life for the gospel, even though according to Roman law, they executed him against the law. Then said Agrippa, verse 32, unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. Now, it was determined that God sent him to Rome, determined and appointed for him to preach 2 years, determined and appointed for him when he died. Most people think he was beheaded there in Rome. Never being convinced and persuaded they needed mercy, the mercy of God in Christ, never receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, they walked away. Walked away from the gospel. Being a believer is to be fully convinced and powerfully persuaded in your heart by the power of God. You believe the gospel because you have no other option. Do you? When God grants you faith and repentance, there's no other option but to repent and to believe the gospel. Being a believer is to be fully convinced and powerfully persuaded in your heart by the power of God that in salvation the Lord Jesus Christ is not something, he's everything. Christ is all and in all. Saving faith is persuaded faith, not almost persuaded, but fully persuaded, totally convinced, altogether sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, I come to this point in the message. What is saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, fully persuaded and totally convinced about? What is saving faith totally convinced about and persuaded about? Well, let's see if we can find out. Turn to Romans chapter 4 again. Romans chapter 4, where we started. Romans chapter 4, believers are fully persuaded that, verse 20, Romans 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God was able to perform. Saving faith is persuaded altogether that what God said is true, that he is able, giving God all the honor and glory. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory, being fully persuaded. His word is true. His word is so. In the book of Romans, turn to Romans chapter 8, where persuaded this. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Romans 8, 32. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things with him? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. A rather, that is risen again from the dead, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. What persuasion are you? I'm persuaded of his love is real. Those for whom he loved cannot perish. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy. I've got the wrong reference. It's 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Turn there. I quoted a moment ago from Philippians 1:6. God who has begun a good work in you, being confident, being persuaded of this very thing, that God who has begun a good work in you, he will finish it. Now, 2 Timothy 1, verse 11, whereunto he said, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What have we committed unto him? Everything. Everything. We've committed everything to him. I'm fully persuaded that he is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Now, here's another reference. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. He is able. We're persuaded. Hebrews 7. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able. We are persuaded he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We are persuaded he is able. For such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. We are persuaded that he is able. Hebrews 11, turn there. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verse 10. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and of the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. How'd they see them? By faith. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed, like Abraham, they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We are persuaded that he is able. Turn to one other reference. Right before the Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is this little book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. We are persuaded he is able. I just thought of another scripture. Don't turn them and just read it to you. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that he may fashion it like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We are persuaded, altogether persuaded, that he is able. That he is able. Believers are persuaded that the word of God is true and inspired and preserved of God. What you hold in your hand, what we've read this morning, these are the very words of God. All scripture, inspired, God-given. We read it as such, treat it as such, receive it as such. Believers are persuaded that the word of God is true, inspired, and preserved, and given of God to teach us the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of truth. Secondly, believers are persuaded that Jesus Christ is the only well-beloved Son of God, the Messiah. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Saving faith is persuaded that He is God. He is God, our Savior. God, our Savior. Our only Savior, the Messiah, the Christ of God. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He's the only mediator, there's just one, between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one advocate. Do you need an advocate, a mediator? Boy, I do. I'm a sinner. There's only one advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ, the righteous. There's only one intercessor. He ever lived to make intercession for us. There's only one Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. I was reading Isaiah 43 this week, and it says, I am the Lord, beside me there is no other Savior. I am the Lord, I am the Savior, Isaiah 43:11. He's the only Redeemer. Don't look for another. He obtained eternal redemption for us with His own blood. He's the only righteousness that we have before God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He's the only one who can put away our sin. He said, I am He that blotteth out thy transgression for my own name's sake and will not remember thy sin. He's the only atonement for sin. Here in His love, not that we love God. He loved us. And He sent His Son to be our propitiation, our sacrifice for our sin. I'm altogether persuaded that He is it. That He is able. That He's the only Savior. Believers are fully persuaded and totally convinced that Jesus Christ accomplished all our salvation by the sacrifice of Himself. How is sin put away? If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. How is sin put away? Not by the blood of bulls and of goats, but with His own blood He obtained for us eternal redemption. Saving faith is altogether persuaded. Christ put away our sin. Really did. So much so that God said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. Believers are fully persuaded that salvation is all of the grace of God. Saving faith is persuaded that He is able. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Agrippa that day was not persuaded to trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He was unwilling to bow to the sovereign lordship of Christ. And as far as the record of Scripture tells us, Agrippa died the same way he was born. How was he born? Dead in sin. How did he die? Our Lord said, if you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sin. How about you? How about me? Have you been persuaded? Have you been persuaded by God the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, your Savior? Do you look to another? Our Lord said, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. I am God, beside me there is no other. Saving faith is persuaded faith. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. I've got one of those crazy computer programs. When I make a mistake, it always goes, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. We studied in 2 Corinthians 5, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the thing done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Wow. Knowing therefore, the Apostle Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, what do? We persuade men. I persuade you to believe the gospel. That's what Paul was doing there. Persuading men to believe the gospel. Now, I turn to one scripture, and I'll let you go with this one. You can go home with this one. Back in the book of Acts, the last chapter, 28, Acts 28, verse 23. Acts 28, verse 23. All judgments committed to the Son. Acts 28, 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. This is Paul in Rome, in prison, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, the Lord Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and of the prophets from morning till evening. Preaching, preaching, preaching. Some believe the things which are spoken, some believe not. Now, in the same chapter, Acts 28, turn to verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. Now, he was still in prison, but he had his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. He's under house arrest, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, all persuasion, altogether persuaded, forbidding, and no man forbidding. He said, you want to hear about Christ? I'll tell you about it. Just come over here and listen for a while. Almost persuaded. I trust God has made you altogether persuaded. That's what saving faith is. That's what saving faith does. Without faith, it is impossible to please God.